Vladimir Nabokov's novel Lolita is now more than 50 years old, one of the most celebrated and notorious novels ever written. It's the story of a middle-aged man's sexual obsession with a 12-year-old girl. The novel was first published by a small press in Paris. It was so controversial that no American publisher would touch it for several years. Today, Lolita's considered a masterpiece. Steve Paulson talked with some well-known writers and editors about the novel's enduring influence.
Lolita is a novel that grabs you from the very first words.
Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul, Lolita.
That's novelist Amy Tan reading the beginning of Lolita.
It is so full of music and immediately seizes you with the sense of a voice and its sensuality. It's as though it is caviar in each single sentence. It is so dense, and yet it's very light at the same time.
Lolita is widely admired by contemporary writers. Many have read it over and over. In fact, a jury of distinguished authors recently ranked it the fourth best novel of the 20th century. And despite the controversy over its pedophilia, for many, Lolita remains the gold standard for sheer brilliance and lyricism in fiction. Novelist Donna Tartt considers Nabokov the godlike master of her craft.
I just hold him in absolutely the highest reverence. He's the anthropomorphic deity that presides over my own kind of Mount Olympus.
Deborah Treisman, the fiction editor of The New Yorker, actually calls Lolita a perfect novel.
I read it probably 5 times in college. Even today, I opened it up again, and there were passages that I knew off by heart and that could bring me to tears.
This sort of accolade is remarkable, considering the scandal that Lolita generated when it first came out in 1955. What really set people off then was the novel's charming and lecherous narrator, Humbert Humbert, the decadent European who's come to America to prey on young girls. Here's an excerpt read by Jeremy Irons.
Less than 6 inches from me, and my burning life was nebulous Lolita. After a long, stirless vigil, my tentacles moved towards her again, and this time the creak of the mattress did not awake her. I managed to bring my ravenous bulk so close to her that I felt the aura of her bare shoulder like a warm breath upon my cheek.
Donna Tartt first heard about Lolita when she was a teenager. The book wasn't in her library, so she went looking to buy a copy.
I went to the mall with some friends of mine, and they had it in the bookshop, but I was embarrassed to buy the book because of its cover. It was this cheesy, soft porn kind of Boogie Nights kind of cover, and I thought, oh, no. And I didn't even have very much money, but I bought another book, so, you know, my friend's father wouldn't think I was buying some sort of porno novel.
It isn't a sexy read. I looked at it hoping it would be when I was about 15 and soon ran out of interest. It's not some exquisite bit of erotica.
That's British novelist Martin Amis. Humbert tells the story as though he's confessing to his crimes, but for much of the book he revels in his lust for this 12-year-old girl.
Gentlewomen of the jury, bear with me. Allow me to take just a tiny bit of your precious time. So this was le grand moment. I had left my Lolita still sitting on the edge of the abysmal bed.
The novel is also a labyrinthian puzzle, with clues dropped in throughout about how Lolita will eventually escape Humbert. But above all, it's a dazzling display of the English language, all the more remarkable since Nabokov was a Russian emigre. The author even coined new words, most famously nymphette, to describe the rather naughty Lolita.
Can we stop at a gas station?
We can go anywhere you like.
Well, I need a gas station. I heard inside. Well, what'd you expect? I was a daisy fresh girl, and look what you've done to me. I should call the police and tell them that you raped me, you dirty old man.
That's a scene from Adrian Lyne's film adaptation of Lolita, starring Jeremy Irons and Dominique Swain. Over the years, the novel's lofty reputation and racy story have enticed various filmmakers, but putting Lolita on the screen has challenged even the best writers. Lyne rejected scripts by Harold Pinter and David Mamet before taking Stephen Schiff's screenplay. The task for Schiff was daunting. How do you adapt a novel that's all about language and so completely in the head of the narrator?
One thing I realized was that there was a surprisingly small amount of dialogue in it, and what was there is not something that in the mouths of an actor is going to really translate well to the screen. So what I really had to do was kind of rewrite Nabokov, which is, you know, a crazy thing to be doing.
And Stephen Schiff had another challenge, making the audience care about a monster like Humbert.
One of the great things that art can aspire to is to bring the audience into an intimacy and a sympathy with a character whose deeds we nevertheless condemn. You can love Humbert and still hate what he does.
A normal man, given a group photograph of schoolgirls and asked to point out the loveliest one, will not necessarily choose the nymphette among them. You have to be an artist, a madman, full of shame and melancholy and despair, in order to recognize the little deadly demon among the others.
The novel's moral ambiguity is part of its brilliance, and one reason Lolita still feels so contemporary. Nabokov himself dismissed any moral reading, saying all he cared about was aesthetic bliss. But The New Yorker's Deborah Treisman says the genius of Lolita is how it moves from comedy to tragedy, to a shattering moment when Humbert finally admits that he's ruined Lolita's life.
What happens is you have all of this ornate and comic buildup, and you think you're reading one kind of a novel, and then you get towards the end, at which point the raw emotion breaks through.
Reader, what I heard was but the melody of children at play, nothing but that.
By this time, Humbert has lost Lolita. He stops by the side of the road and hears the voices of children in a town below.
I stood listening to that musical vibration from my lofty slope, to those flashes of separate cries with a kind of demure murmur for background, and then I knew that the hopelessly poignant thing was not Lolita's absence from my side, but the absence of her voice from that concord.
It's the moment at which he actually is able to come clean about what has happened and that he's taken this girl's childhood.
Martin Amis agrees.
What he has done, he's murdered her soul. He has detached her from the human race.
For all its acclaim, Lolita occupies an odd place in American literature. Many writers call it their favorite novel, and yet its influence is hard to gauge. Lolita is so distinctive, so complete, that it stands alone. Amy Tan says Nabokov is one writer you cannot possibly imitate.
Nabokov is somebody whose work you read, and if you're the sort of very insecure writer, we'd say, well, I might as well not even try to write, because he's just so brilliant and clever and beautiful and nasty, you know.
A new paperback edition of Lolita has just been published by Vintage. Steve Paulson produced our story about Lolita.
This, then, is my story. I have reread it. It has bits of marrow sticking to it and blood and beautiful bright green flies. At this or that twist of it, I feel my slippery self eluding me, gliding into deeper and darker waters than I care to probe. I have camouflaged what I could so as not to hurt people. And I've toyed with many pseudonyms for myself before I hit on a particularly apt one. There are in my notes Otto Otto and Mesmer Mesmer and Lambert Lambert. But for some reason, I think my choice expresses the nastiness best. When I started 56 days ago to write Lolita, first in the psychopathic ward for observation and then in this well-heated, albeit tumult, seclusion, I thought I would use these notes in toto at my trial, to save not my head, of course, but my soul. In mid-composition, however, I realized that I could not parade living Lolita. I may still use parts of this memoir in hermetic sessions, but publication is to be deferred.
Steve Paulson prepared that piece on Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita.